fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's it, say.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Hey everybody, it's Jesse Blaze Snyder, the coolest geek alive. How you doing out there in the world? I hope well. I know the world's been getting a little crazy, but thank goodness we have other things to think about besides real life. Like these imaginary characters in these superhero films. There's a new rumor out of Marvel Studios that they are going to shift everything to basically replace the Avengers for a moment with the Young Avengers. I'm just going to tell you all the reasons why this is a terrible idea, especially the way they're doing it. I mean, there are ways that they could do this eventually that would be okay. By appropriately introducing the Young Avengers. Because, get it straight, the team that they're about to present to people in films, if they were to go this route, is not remotely the team that anybody wants to see. The history of the Young Avengers in the comics is pretty simple. There was a really wonderful series called The Young Avengers. I'm pretty sure it was about 12 issues. It was drawn by Jim Chang, and it was written by Alan Heinberg, and it was awesome. Alan was touted as being a writer for The OC, which was like a, I don't know, dramedy sitcom. I never watched it. It was for popular people. For popular people who like to watch stories about pretty people. I don't know what it was about. But he was a great writer, and he did a really great job with this series. Traditionally speaking, the main characters of the Marvel Universe hadn't done the sidekick thing. You know, Bucky Barnes was dead for so long, and Falcon was a different sort of sidekick. He was more a partner that that rode along with Cap. You know, they had similar ideals, and he was his backup, like, wasn't exactly a sidekick, where there was a young sort of version of them. So no characters like this were generally introduced. Nowadays, more have been characters that could be considered like a sidekick, Captain America and stuff. But at the time, these things weren't really approached, especially for, like, you know, think about like Hulk having a sidekick or Iron Man having a sidekick. Or even Thor having a sidekick. It's a bit weird. Separately, though, for this book, this Young Avengers is this team of young characters who have these attributes and the looks of the Avengers, representing the Avengers right out of the gate. The star of the book is a disguised... It's Isaiah Bradley's nephew. I don't know the names of all these characters, but his character's name is Patriot. And he was essentially kind of the lead, you know, the leader of the team. And a lot of the story revolved around him and sort of continuing years later, some aspect of what was established in the miniseries, The Truth, that introduced Isaiah Bradley and this all-black experimental platoon of troops that they had, where they were trying to reproduce the Super Soldier program, and it worked with his uncle or grandfather. I don't remember exactly what their relationship was. Might have been his grandfather. So he was masked initially. You didn't know who he was. You didn't know he existed. Then there was Wiccan, who was cool because he was a good guy like Thor, and he was modded out like Thor, but with the vibe of Loki because he had magic powers. And he was a mystery as well. Who is this person? You didn't know what his relationships were. You didn't know Patriot's relationship to Isaiah Bradley. You didn't know he was black, et cetera, et cetera. You didn't know that Wiccan was related to Scarlet Witch, and you didn't know that he had a brother, which Speed didn't enter into the series until, I think, like issue 8, maybe issue 6 or something like that. But he was like a surprise And Speed ended up as the Quicksilver type character. So it's a very true to the Avengers roster thing that we have going here. The four main drawers were all four of the main Avengers. So we've got Patriot, we've got Wiccan as Thor and Captain America. Then we had Hulkling. And Hulkling hasn't been introduced in the Marvel Universe yet. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe yet. But he goes on to have a relationship with Wiccan, who they're both gay. And it's, you know, one of the more like center stage and cool representation things that's happened in comics that's been really natural and nice, positive. So much of it is so ham-fisted and forced. This was great. I don't think Alan was forced to do this. I think naturally he was like, oh yeah, and like they're boyfriends. You know, like this makes sense. Here it is, the next generation. You know, it's a really great place for that kind of representation. I think in terms of as opposed to going back in time and trying to retroactively make the old guard gay now, like they're doing in the recent Alan Scott Green Lantern thing. You know, he's a guy who's been married and has two children. One of his children is gay, one of the prominent gay members of the DC Universe. And now he's been like a closet gay homosexual. And they even have this thing where like he's like pressured into putting together the Justice Society of America, like because of like gay sex, like seriously, like this is like some of the stuff that's going on. It's just so weird to go back in time and color the past and color characters and whatnot. It really just seems like baiting elderly portions of the audience, you know, like that a character like that has the oldest fan base. And you know, it's like, forgive these people that might be prejudiced or whatever. They know not what they do. They grew up whatever stupid way that they grew up, and now here you're like antagonizing them kind of with a change like this. You know, it's like easier to bear for, you know, kids of the 80s who grew up with Tim Drake and you know, now he's like, you know, maybe I'm gay. And I mean, and you go like, okay, I guess so. Like, it's really so weird. I think Iceman's such a weird one too. I mean, Iceman was just the permanent character who was gay. Not gay, I mean the antithesis of gay, I mean straight, you know, just hitting on everybody. And I mean, and it could be it's just so funny to say, no, it was all an elaborate ruse. But if you go and you talk to any of these writers or artists, they'll tell you, no, I'm pretty sure that I wrote him as a straight man. And now he's been turned into a gay person. It's so silly. But always the way proper is the way forward. And the way forward is to introduce new characters and have it naturalistically be the case. And this was the case in this story. It was a great, awesome freaking tale. This 12 issues, I guess, of the Young Avengers. And then the Young Avengers was essentially paused and they didn't know what to do with the Young Avengers. And I was like, oh my God, they need to continue these characters. They need to do more. This is so great. It was awesome. It was super awesome the way that they were introduced. And then they followed it up with this other storyline. That was like maybe 8 issues or maybe it was 12 issues again. I can't remember exactly. I don't think I got to finish it. It was called the Children's Crusade, Young Avengers Children's Crusade, and it was just focused around Wiccan and Speed and Scarlet Witch and all this stuff. And it was pretty good. Like I said, I don't think I finished the story, but these are great creators. Great creators make great stories. Certainly, there are some cool stories to tell that were told there in those stories. And this thing that they're doing right now, it's it's not going to be right. It's not going to be that story. Invariably, when America Chavez shows up, and she does eventually show up in the Young Avengers, but she doesn't come along until much later. That's one of the reasons why it was so ridiculous that they introduced her so quickly. I feel like she was just sort of forced into this thing, this situation where now either they do the Young Avengers or she ages out. But they're really screwing up the timeline here for their characters, because there is a place for America Chavez, and it's eventually, once they've established this initial team of Young Avengers. And I didn't even finish what we had. Patriot, we've got Wiccan, we've got Hulkling, and we've got Iron Lad, who, granted, the whole first 12 issues of the Young Avengers thing kind of revolves around Iron Lad and his story. And I'll try not to just spoil everything for you or whatever, because these are like future stories that they may tell. But Iron Lad has some really cool connections to the MCU, and they do have the right thing set up so that they could do some stuff that would be cool. However, this team consists of those four boys and then Hawkeye and Stature. And Hawkeye in the TV show, I think they like really nailed her. And I mean, they nailed her later in like some of the Matt Fraction Hawkeye series. They did a great job with Kate Bishop, her Hawkeye character. She's a good character, and so is Stature, the Cassie Lang character that was introduced in, you know, the Avengers as something that mattered to Hank. You know, this was his kid, and you know, it was a big deal. And her getting a hold of some pink particles and whatever else, and you knew he would be worried about her and stuff, and that created a lovely little dynamic. But this was a nice tight knit machine of those four, five, six main characters, and then eventually Speed gets added to this, Wiccan's brother. So you end up in the end with seven, which is a nice magic number. Now, these seven in this proposed film will be joined by America Chavez, Miss Marvel, and Ironheart. That brings the team up to 10. Your ability to focus on characters and focus the story on various things and adding in all of these elements means, like, I mean, one, you know, if Ironheart's in here and if Miss Marvel's in here, it's going to get focused around them more. Because they had been, or in America Chavez, especially because they had storylines. So what's going to happen? Well, all of a sudden the Young Avengers are going to be jumping through dimensions in their storyline instead of telling the Young Avengers story that made fans like me give a shit about the Young Avengers. I don't give a shit about the Young Avengers if you're not going to tell the story and introduce them the way they're meant to be introduced. It's not interesting to your audience anymore. So don't do this. Do not do a Young Avengers movie that includes America Chavez. It's too soon for America Chavez to show up. Do not do one with Ironheart and Miss Marvel. And now, especially because Miss Marvel, you guys, Miss Marvel and Ironheart, they're part of a new incarnation of the Champions, who are even younger than the Young Avengers. Okay, hierarchy, like, you know, like the ages of things, parallels, like following different generations of characters in terms of like their age. It's a really big deal. One of the best times in history of DC Comics. They had a really wonderful kind of hierarchy. They had the Young Justice team that was like the youngest of the young, doing the or I should say not Young Justice, it was Teen Titans, Young Justice around this time, they had jumped up to the Teen Titans. The Teen Titans, who were like the teenagers and the younger kids who were superheroes. Then there was the Outsiders, led by Nightwing for a while, and this became kind of like the Bachelor's Club, like, you know, the young men, and like the college people, men and women, And then there was the Justice League above them, you know, who were the real, the men, you know, the seasoned pros, the people who had been doing it. And then there was the Justice Society above them, who were the team of elder statesmen who were in World War II and stuff. And this little just bit of gook, where they had all of these different shelves of people, I think really helped to define the various lines of their comics in wonderful ways, because everybody on the outsiders or associated with the outsiders became that, you know, sort of level there of age group of what you were expecting personality wise or whatever it was in terms of sidekicks or and supporting characters and whatnot. Marvel here, they had never done anything like that where they had those different levels of characters, but then all of a sudden they were given the gift of that. And the first one was the Young Avengers, and these characters were, you know, initially kind of teenagers, quickly becoming young adults. And then a new wave of characters that were introduced later on, including an Amadeus Cho Hulk, and I'm trying to think some of the other characters who were on. Oh, Miles Morales, Spider-Man. They made up a team of the Champions. And Champions was a team in the comics already, a title that Marvel had put out years earlier, which didn't feature these characters. But now, starring Miles Morales and starring Ironheart and Miss Marvel, and I think they had some young X-Men characters that had come from the past at some point in time. Cyclops, at the very least, was on the team. And, you know, some characters like that, they had a really cool dynamic. They had some really good writers on them. They, I think, Mark Waid and Jim Zub, you know, there are great stories to tell from the Champions. So don't take Miss Marvel and don't take Ironheart and put them in the Young Avengers story and queer the Young Avengers story so that's not right anymore. And then stop yourself from being able to put out the Champions and tell some of those stories, which are actually some good stories that they wrote recently. Like, you know, you have people working in the comics to do the thing that you want to adapt in Hollywood, and here Mark Waid and Jim Zub give you some stuff that you could use, and you don't use it. You shoehorn them into the Young Avengers because of the, you know, it's a title everybody knows, and I understand, but this shit's supposed to be about character. And on the strength of characters that we like, you know, I mean, entire franchises get started on the strength of characters we like. You know, you introduce a character that we like in the X-Men, and then you got, you know, Gambit in a solo series. Or, you know, you can put him as the leader of a team of X-Men with characters that you don't know, and people might read it because they like Gambit. It's a character we know and we're interested in. And then you can introduce other characters around them. Character that we know and we're interested in, and characters that I don't know. I wonder what will happen here with all these characters that I don't know next to this character who I am very interested in. You know, it's a very simple thing to get this stuff right, but they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. And I promise you, the fact that America Chavez is here and introduced so soon means the plot will end up revolving around teleporting through space and dimensions, because that's what her powers are. So that's what she ends up doing, and that's what she ends up bringing to the story, which is why she's just a terrible character in that regard, because she's a character who just sort of dictates the plot so often when she shows up. And I mean, it's okay in plenty of stories, and a lot of, you know, books have been centered around that storyline, and that's okay for books centered around that storyline, and she works great as a character when she's in that storyline. I mean, like, as a functional character for the Multiverse of Madness with Doctor Strange, she works okay. Visually, she is the worst eyesore ever to be added to Doctor Strange's movie. She just makes every shot that she's in look hideous with her denim outfit. We got this great Tim Burton-esque Doctor Strange and creepy things going on, and then here's this girl in her cute little denim Little America doll outfit. I don't know what you call it. If she was excised from that movie, I would like that movie so much more. If you could put Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider and Wesley Snipes Blade in that movie when he was bouncing through the dimensions, I would like that movie so much more. Sorry, I've said it once and say it again, and I keep saying it until somebody hears me. This thing of trying to force us to like a thing a different way. You know, we didn't like when DC Comics tried to throw Cyborg on to the Justice League. It's just, it's so crazy too, because, you know, he's got younger days, time with the Doom Patrol, and then over to the Teen Titans. You know, that big transition of them coming away from the Doom Patrol to go to the Teen Titans and roll in kind of the big leagues of sidekicks or whatever, and coming up with all those characters. There's so many animated series starring Victor Stone alongside his buddies on the Teen Titans, and they're like, nah, we're going to make people think that he's an original member of the Justice League because he's black, and we want to add a black member to the Justice League. It's just like the freaking craziest, stupidest thing. I mean, you know, Black Lightning before you do that one. It's like there's other things you could do. And I mean, they had Hal Jordan. Like, it's like, why Hal Jordan? Go with John Stewart as the original member of the Justice League if that's what you want to do. Go with John Stewart. Add Black Lightning. You know, there are some other characters that you can add who are associated with the Justice League and in a high enough position within the hierarchy that they would deserve such an honor to be bestowed upon them. Just most characters just don't deserve that. So, you know, you gotta know the audience is gonna reject that whole idea. Like, what's he doing here? And with Cyborg, actually, he deserves it, except the reason why it's not right is because he's not associated with the Justice League. He's so associated with the classic stories of the Teen Titans, of the Doom Patrol. His story is well understood by fans. So, you know, it's like Jefferson Pierce, Black Lightning. It's like, you know, how well is his story understood by fans? Probably not so well. Probably less well. He's somebody that you could kind of morph and adjust or whatever. Like Cyborg, it's like, no, man, I know him. I know who he's from. Like, that dude doesn't roll with Batman. That dude rolls with Batman's sidekick, Robin. He's friends with Dick Grayson. He's training Tim Drake right now. You know, that's what fans know. What's he doing with Superman? He should be hanging out training Connor Hawk. You know, he's about the same age as Supergirl was when she died. You know, that's like the associations that people have. So it's really, I think, just super, super tone deaf when they make these changes to all these things. I am legitimately excited for the Young Avengers. I'm legitimately excited for Wiccan and Hulkling, and they're going to kiss. You know, sweet. It's great. It's introduced awesome. And like, who gives a shit? Like, you know, and I really think people who care or don't care, like, that's the thing. Like, they're going to see it, and they're not going to care either, because it's handled well and it's not freaking shoehorned in. Well, at least if you read the comics. I don't know what the hell we're going to be having now. And I don't know what this team is going to be, led by Ironheart and Miss Marvel and America Chavez, one who's not supposed to be on the team and the other two who aren't supposed to be on the team at all. And I mean, America Chavez is not supposed to be on the team yet, and not supposed to be on the team at all. they should be on the Champions, and there are some good stories to tell there. And I hear, I haven't watched the Ms. Marvel series, but I hear that the lead actress is really charming and sweet, and it's great in an ensemble. And I think she seems charming and sweet in the trailers for the Marvels, you know, and an ensemble, though, you want to be with like likable and interesting characters. It's three characters with like basically have like variations of the same powers and all that stuff. I mean, just, I don't know if I'm even necessarily going to see it. We'll see. I don't want to talk about things that I don't like. And I know that I didn't like the first one and I skipped Secret Invasion, and I think I'm good for a minute. I would rather focus on the stuff that's awesome, and then, you know, comment on the things that they're doing that are freaking crazy, like this, like the way that they're rolling this out, because it's just, it's so silly. I think there are plenty of people who would love to shoot down, I think, the Champions, the recent version of it, but it was a success for a minute. There was some good stories from some really good creators. It's not as popular, you know, at the moment or whatever, but it was a nice mix of a whole bunch of new characters, and it gave all those new characters an opportunity to shine in their own way. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So when you have something that you've established like this, to already be undermining it by sending your two of your lead characters from the book, Ironheart and Miss Marvel, off to join the other team that they're not supposed to be on, that they're going to shift attention away from the various characters that I want the attention to be on, because those are the freaking characters who you sold me on ages ago, who I have the trade paperback on my shelf of your beautiful book that I like. Why aren't you making something anywhere near close to the thing that I want? I'm not going to see this if I am shown an advertisement where front and center of the Young Avengers movie is America Chavez, Ironheart, and Miss Marvel. Like, if they are in it so sparingly, I'm in. Otherwise, I'm not even going to watch the movie. The moment I find out that the plot is about them traveling through dimensions, I'm not going to watch the movie. You understand? The moment I find out that Iron Lad isn't even in the movie because you don't need him anymore because we've got Iron Heart in the movie, I'm not going to watch the movie. Your first Young Avengers movie better be focused on Patriot, Wiccan, Hulkling, and Iron Lad. Hawkeye and Stature. The other characters can come too, but they better be relegated to the side. It better be like, oh, and then we met this person. Ha 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 ha. Or we ran into America Chavez at the end. She's going to take us to another dimension because we're putting her storyline up ahead for some reason right now. And then maybe you can shoehorn them into the Children's Crusade story in the future. But I mean, seriously, it's like, Ironheart is redundant in a Young Avengers movie because we should have Iron Lad in here, and we should, the whole story kind of revolves around him, the first story arc, and the tale that I'm interested in seeing, you're adding in a character that is redundant in that capacity. Miss Marvel, I guess she's an addition to this team that is fine enough, but again, Miss Marvel is associated with Miles Morales, and that's a good thing for you guys. Like, it's just like you just rushed all this stuff. Like, seriously, they just shoot themselves in the foot like crazy doing this when they don't see a vision for what's going on right now. You know, DC is about to do the same thing. We've got James Gunn, and He likes the Damian Wayne, the son of Batman character. Meanwhile, we have yet to really get, I think, a proper depiction of Dick Grayson on the big screen. I mean, I guess Chris O'Donnell counts to some degree. I mean, we haven't gotten a proper depiction of Batman either. I mean, I know everybody likes the Christopher Nolan ones, but it's very rooted in reality. It doesn't really create the atmosphere that you get when you read Batman comics. And if I haven't recommended it enough times, like seriously, homework assignment tonight, go Amazon, order Batman, The Long Halloween, and just see the vibe of this world where there's an asylum filled with maniacs and Batman has to deal with them. And it's a mystery, and it's not about his love life. That's the thing that they always screw up in all these movies. They just make everything about his love life, and it just makes it ruins what Batman really is. He's just this single-minded detective who's going about his business to make the world a better place because he's been traumatized by the death of his parents. And every time they make it about what he's doing with his ding-dong, they just lose sight of all of it. So check out Batman The Long Halloween. You know, that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. And the progression of Robin is this. Dick Grayson is there. Dick Grayson gets fed up with Batman and how cold he is. He goes his own way after being, you know, on the Teen Titans and kind of getting a little bit of confidence underneath him. He becomes Nightwing. Batman replaces him with this kid that he finds stealing the hubcaps off the Batmobile, Jason Todd. Jason Todd is rather quickly detested by the audience because he's the replacement for the character that they had come to love. So the replacement character is booed. They have I don't know if it was like a write-in poll or whatever. I guess it was to write your answer in of whether or not to kill him or not, to have the Joker kill him. And it was apparently pretty close margins, but the audience voted to kill Jason Todd. So the Joker beats him to death with a crowbar in a storyline called A Death in the Family or A Lonely Place of Dying, one of them. Or maybe the two of them are both associated with this storyline, but I'm not sure which one's first if you want to read it. Great, great story arcs. There's so much great stuff in the Batman mythology. It's really great. So Jason Todd gets murked. And then eventually Batman is getting sort of darker and darker. And this character, Tim Drake, he notices that Batman has gotten more vicious and that a Robin has seemed to sort of lighten him up and keep him from going too dark. And now when he's this one man killing machine that like he's just really hurting people. So Tim Drake decides to figure out who he is. And he's a detective. And he detectives who Batman is. And he figures out who Bruce Wayne is. And basically becomes Batman's Robin, kind of forces himself on Bruce. And it's really cool because the first Nightwing, Dick Grayson, first Robin, his character is this acrobat who sort of represents the physical attributes of so much of what Batman does and has to do. Being able to, you know, physically leap from thing to thing to thing. And Tim Drake represented the intellectual aspects of Batman's, him as a detective, looking at crime. Tim wasn't somebody who was using a brute force to get what he wanted. He was using his mind. And Batman is so often, you know, trying to use his mind. So Tim was just a wonderful addition. This 1-2-3, Red Hood gets brought back. Red Hood is, of course, that second Robin, Jason Todd. And prior to being brought back, he's used to great, greatness from different writers as something that Batman really regrets, the whole situation. And then even still to this day, as Jason Todd's back in the fold, he still is having a hard time with what he allowed to happen to Jason Todd. And Jason Todd struggles with this. And, you know, he's like the trauma Robin. So, you know, we've got these three Robins who we really have strong relationships with. Jason Todd has never been displayed on the big screen in any way, shape, or form. Neither has Tim Drake. And we're going to go straight from Dick Grayson, who's, you know, really not had the best showings, and in very small doses. And we're going to go straight to Batman's Kid. There's a big problem here with going straight to Batman's Kid too. And, you know, writers in the comics knew it. Like, people really want to hate on the sidekick to various degrees, you know. Dick Grayson over time growing as a character is what made people really love him. You know, you love him when you're little, and then you grow up and, like, you know, you think he's a little lame. These characters and their unique positions in the Batman mythology has made them accepted. When Grant Morrison, the writer who introduced this character, based off of a story from Denny O'Neill, which is a favorite of mine called Son of the Demon, where Talia al Ghul gets knocked up and they don't tell Batman. And the story was considered not canon for a long time, that doesn't count. And finally, they let Grant Morrison bring in his kid. And Grant Morrison very cleverly just made Damian the most unlikable character of all time because they knew people were going to hate him. But I'm not even sure, like, if they do Batman Brave and the Bold where it's Nightwing and Batman's son, that's going to be great. At the same time, though, that means Bruce is gone or dead or retired or what? So I don't know. And they skipped over so much stuff. And I mean, it's like, you can go back, but like, oh yeah, Tim Drake and Jason Todd, you can mention these things, but like, would have been so much better to see the story unfold. This was a wonderful story that could have been unfolded over time. I mean, like, seriously, like, Warner Brothers, hand me the reins and I will just, like, orchestrate this shit for you, and I, like, get you a freaking Batman mythology going. Like, you don't gotta worry about the DC universe. Freaking the Batman mythology. Just make that shit happen. Like, just, like, you will be so glad you did. It's just ridiculous. It's you got it on your hands. There to be expanded the same way you've got it expanded in the comics. Just, like, get your head out of your ass. Do this thing with me. Anyway. The Young Avengers is just not what the audience is looking for. I don't think this Batman Brave and the Bold thing is what the audience is looking for either. I just really, to a certain degree as a fan, I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall. And, you know, there was a thing that got said the other day about the Ahsoka series. Well, and it's not just said the other day. It's just been said so many times about, like, all this fan service on Ahsoka, and people go to talk about the ratings of the show that it's being loyal to as a fan. And, you know, like the ratings of Rebels and the ratings of Clone Wars, and this is, like, where people are taking cues. The fan bases are so small. And yeah, they're right. The fan bases are so small. But, like, dude, step one is honoring the source material. So, like, try not to poo-poo that too much. Honoring source material is great. Bringing out the things that we like is great. You know, you have to elevate the source material and deliver it to us in a way where we're going to enjoy it just as much again. You know, I think Ahsoka's biggest crime has been, and I didn't watch it, but just listening to everybody talk about it, it just seems to be that it's assuming you know about a lot of things as opposed to reminding you or teaching you, getting you up to speed. You know, when you bring back characters that some people know, you don't assume that everybody knows and that they'll catch up. You have to demonstrate who these characters are right off the bat very clearly so that people in the audience go, oh, okay, I understand the basics of these characters now. And to not do that at all, which seems to be the case with this Ahsoka show, which, I, like I said, I skipped because I was mad. I hated the Boba Fett show. I started the Obi-Wan show, and I just thought it was stupid, and I turned it off. And I'm done. I'm done with Star Wars. I'll do some Andor. That'll be it for me, though. And I think I'm done with Marvel and these shows. I mean, I'll watch the Loki show because I like Tom Hiddleston. And I'll watch Deadpool. But I'm in wait-and-see mode when it comes to Marvel. It's a bummer. It's a bummer, man. They've destroyed so many of the good things, you know? I'm going to try to find some really great things to bring to you guys because we need more good things in the world. I mean, this is why I make comics and this is why I make music, because I just feel like so frustrated by the level of creativity that we're given. And in this day and age, the amount of books that have been written on how to do this stuff right, and the fact that people don't even bother to educate themselves in any way, shape, or form on how to do it, what to do. They just go off and write about the food that they like. I just find it crazy, the, you know, trope in comics these days of writers having characters eat outlandish food. That seems to be some meal that I really like. Here, look, look at this. Isn't it delicious? Like, it's just like so bizarre to me. It's one thing in anime where that's like a continual thing in the book, but it's just another thing when it's just this is what constitutes writing. Like, here, look at my crazy sandwich. Like, and everybody can't have a crazy sandwich. I mean, I guess everybody does have a crazy sandwich, but some people don't. And, you know, it's really just about character. And I don't know how much character we're getting from, oh, look, aren't I zany? Like, zaniness is not a good character trait. You know, I really think character comes from the things that people desire. And I desire a hot dog exactly like this isn't exactly the thing. You know, we like Jughead because desire is like his whole thing. He's just constantly hungry and he needs to eat all the time. And it's like, you know, it's a consistent pattern in his life. It's a character defining feature. But like a one-time bit of like, look how zany I am when I eat this meal, doesn't really add a lot of layers to your character. I don't know. Am I being a hater? I don't like being a hater. I like being a lover. I love these things. I just want to see them made at a higher level. And it so disappoints me when just such obvious mistakes are being made. They're, oh yeah, they can be Young Avengers too. Like, dude, like, it's just so clear you don't care. You didn't read the storylines. What's the point of these things existing? What's the point of the fan base existing and asking for things to be done with the material we like if this is what you're going to fucking do? I don't want this. It's just like, you know, it's like, it's a bummer, man. It's really just like, it's a bummer. You keep making these changes and they suck. They're not, it's not coming out good. You're not convincing me that you know better. You've convinced me that the fans know better. We know better. So like, please just like stop listening to yourself. Stop listening to yourself. Stop listening to yourself. It's stupid. Anyway, I don't know. It's really just like all I have to say about all of this shit today. It's a sad day. It's a sad day, my friend. It's a sad day. It's a sad day. Oh, I had notes here. It said, I copied from the Wiki team roster. And it says, members, America Chavez, Hawkeye, Hulkling, Iron Lad, Kid Loki, Novar, Patriot, Prodigy, Speed, Stature, Vision, Wiccan. Wikipedia knows better than Marvel Studios does. Where does it say Ironheart or Miss Marvel on that members list? It doesn't. It doesn't, because they're not on the fucking team. And again, America Chavez, Kid Loki, Novar, Prodigy, even Speed and Vision are later additions to the team. You know what? Seriously, just get the books. Order the two books. the Young Avengers, at least the first one, and I say just order the second one too, because it was really good. I didn't finish it. I forget why. I was like moving at the time, and I never got like the remaining issues of the series, but it was really good. What I read, Jim Chang is like one of the best artists in comics. So cool. Just order those. Homework assignment, so you can know what I know. So read these books, see how cool they are, and go, oh, cool, I want to see that story. Why are they doing it like this? And you'll be like, aha, this is why Jesse is so upset about this fucking thing. I am. It is. It's very aggravating. But read the books. Read the books so you can feel it with me. I don't want to be alone in this. I don't want to be alone. Okay, I don't have any other good like notes here that I didn't go over already. Well, that's all I have for today. I am your passionate geek culture compadre, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Write to me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com, or you can follow me at that place where the tweets happen, at @coolestgeekjbs. I love you all so much. I appreciate you listening to my show. And I hope you'll join me again next Wednesday and this coming Saturday for another electrifying episode of The Coolest Geek Alive! It's my favorite part! Coolest alive. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Stay with your tribe. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Revenge of the Geeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Week after weeks. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Laughing with you. It's gonna be fucking awesome. And crying sometimes too. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Spelling it out. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Making you shout. You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening. Talking some shit. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Living your shit. My voice gonna be fucking awesome. Food in our mouth. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Get in the mouth. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Tell all your friends. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Call right our text. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Raising the bar. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Straight to the stars. It's gonna be fucking awesome. It's done. Fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see. You'll all see. The Podcast Playground. All right.